evening, councils. I'll declare the meeting open at 6:04. I'm advised that the time on our intercom devices is slightly out of sync, but and what beautiful weather we've got out there. The Jilba season, as the Noongar people, the first people of this land know it, sliding into the Muckaroo season that comes next. We acknowledge the traditional owners of this country, the Whadjuk people of the Noongar Nation. We pay respects to their ancestors, past and present. Agenda item number 2. Councillors in... before I move on to that, we've got some visitors in attendance this evening. We've got Miss Lisa Lowe, who will be doing a presentation shortly for us on the stakeholder engagement review. And we've got Karen Brown, who attended at the briefing session to provide us with independent counsel and advice in relation to the probity matter later in the agenda. Agenda item 2, we have a full deck of councillors in attendance. And Councillor Johnson is attending in the gallery from the City of Swan. Leave of absence previously applied. There are none. Apologies, none received. Agenda item number 3 is disclosures of interest. Councillor Clark has verbally advised me prior to the meeting that she'd wish to make a disclosure.
I do, Chair. So item, out of an abundance of caution, item 16.1, the MWAC minutes, mentions the ERA, my employer, and the container deposit scheme that they're undertaking. So I'll leave the room and won't vote on that item.
And there's no vote required in item 16. It's just the delegate's report.
We're not even accepting the report? Or
I'll let you make your own decision as to your attendance during that.
I know there
item.
Is some discussion and dispute as to whether or not noting is a decision or not, but rather than get bogged down in that tonight, I thought I might just pop out of the room if that's right.
Sorry, through the Chair, if I may. There is no vote on that item. It's just for the delegate to update the meeting.
Okay, if there's no vote at all, then no decision. Yep, okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for clarification on that matter, and thank you, Councillor Clark, for your abundance of caution in showing probity at all times as you do. Are there any other disclosures of interest councillors wish to make? There are none. Moving to agenda item number 4, announcements by the chairman without discussion. This may well be the last meeting of the MRC prior to the elections, unless, of course, there is any special council meetings required. If that is the case and it comes to pass, it will be no secret to councillors that I've not nominated for re-election at the town of Bassendean, so this may be the last MRC meeting that I've chaired. So I'd just like to thank all councillors for their generous contribution both to debate and discussion and consideration of matters over the last 2 years. We've had some interesting times, but I think it is fair to say that at all times councillors here have had the interests of the Eastern Metropolitan Region first and foremost in their mind during those discussions and have engaged with each other and with me as the Chair with respect, and I thank you all for that. I'd also like to thank the staff for the very professional contribution they make to our region in making sure that we are resourced as best we can be to make good decisions on behalf of our community. So thank you all. Agenda item number 5, response to previous public questions taken on notice. There are none. Public question time. Do we have any members of the public in attendance? We do not. Are there any written questions that have been submitted?
None received.
Thank you, Mr. CEO. Agenda item 7 is applications for leaves of absence. Do councillors wish to make any applications for leaves of absence at this time? There are none. Agenda item number 8 is petitions, deputations and presentations. So as you can see from the PowerPoint projected up against the wall, we've got the key stakeholder review 2021. I'd like to invite Ms. Lisa Lowe to come and give a presentation on behalf of Catalyse, who have undertaken the work for us. to you.
Okay, well, that sounds very loud to me. Is that loud for everyone else? Volume button on this, I imagine. Sorry, I need my glasses. Which are they? Okay, is that better? Still sounds loud.
It is. It's fine by me.
All right, if you can bear with that, I'll get going to keep you on time. Okay, so thank you everybody for the opportunity to engage with your key stakeholders to find out how they feel about the different services, the activities, the achievements that you've been making. So we have a fairly short presentation tonight, so I've allowed time for questions as well. Okay, so the essence of this study, it was going out to your key stakeholders. So the EMRC provided us with a list of their stakeholders. And when we went out to them, 101 provided a response. So that includes people around this table as well. It was councillors from participating members, it was the CEOs, it was the staff, it was people from private industry, and it was also state government and federal government representatives. So to get a 41% response rate is really, really good for these sorts of studies. So that was a very encouraging finding in itself to show that people thought that this was an organisation that they were willing to invest more time to come back and tell you what they thought about you. When we see disengagement, that's a really strong indicator that people don't value an organisation. So first tick there. The other thing we see is that when we look at the overall performance of this organisation, there's a growing number of fans. And by that, we mean that the levels of delight, so that's when people are giving ratings of 8 or higher out of 10, that rose up to 51%. Now, that was a 9% increase since the last time we did the study, which is quite a big jump. And it was the highest rating we've seen since we started doing the tracking study back in 2014. All right. Now, at the same time, we did see, though, that there's a slightly higher number of people who are saying they're dissatisfied. So we're starting to see a little bit of polarisation. And what that's doing as well is it just brought down the overall rating for 6 or higher. So that sort of satisfaction rating dropped by 5 percentage points. So if we step back from that, we can see, as I said, a growing number of fans. But then there's this polarisation of people going to the other end where there was about 12%, I think, who said that they were dissatisfied this time. Now, if we just cross over to the key indicators there, and that's your key service areas of waste management, waste education, urban environment, regional development and regional advocacy. On that four-point scale, where the ratings are fair, good or excellent, you can see the majority of your stakeholders are saying that you're in a positive space. Okay, the other rating was poor, so you can see there's only a small percentage there. We'll note, though, that when you look at the more detailed findings in the full report, you'll see that the good and excellent ratings for regional advocacy did drop by 11 percentage points since the previous study. So that would certainly be one to focus on moving forward. I'm just going to come back over here to the recommendations, and then I'll support some of these findings with the evidence, and then we'll come back to the recommendations as well. This is an organisation that's gone through quite a bit of change. This is a sector that's gone through quite a lot of change. You know, when we step back to a number of years ago, it was really focused on landfill. We have recycling, we have FOGO, we've got waste for energy. We've got lots of new things that are coming in this sector. So we are going through a lot of change. So when the members are saying that we want shared agreement on strategic direction, over the last few years, there's been some strong discussion about strategic direction, from what I understand, and there's been some agreement on the strategic direction. But what's coming through from this study is people saying we need that shared commitment and we need that shared agreement on the way forward. Now, it would seem that not everybody is in agreement at the moment on that direction, and so that would suggest that more conversation, more evidence is needed in order to bring everybody on that change journey. Some of the things coming through is we need to see some focus on, well, where are we going and where are we not going? So the where are we going, there seems to be some real clarity around, yes, we're definitely in the waste management sector, but how far do we go into sustainability and climate change? The circular economy, what's our role there? And then if we go beyond that into environmental management or the other areas that you've been in the past, like tourism management, etc., it's that common consensus on what's our role and what actions are we going to take. Then flowing through to that, there's a need for that stakeholder engagement plan. And by that, we don't mean a lengthy 30-page document describing all the theory behind it. It's a really practical document, which is talking about the different segments of stakeholders, different segments of customers you have, and then deciding what are the key messages that need to get to those audiences and what's the best way to deliver them. So there's a fair bit of information in this study about the preferred methodologies or preferred channels to get to people, and we'll touch on that. All right. The key reason why that has come through, though, as one of the recommendations is because the communication ratings dropped by 17 percentage points since 2016. And in an area when you're undergoing change, it's critical that people have good information in order to support those decisions. So communication is going to be really key moving forward. Yeah. Boom, boom. All right. So let's start by looking at overall satisfaction with EMRC. And you can see over here that when you look at the results, and I'll go from 2016, you can see there that overall satisfaction rating has been dropping. And at the same time, the level of dissatisfaction has been growing. But the overriding finding really is that, you know, the delighted ratings really dropped in 2018. But since then, they've sprung back and gone to the highest level. Now, it is only 2 points higher than the high before, but it's still the highest, and it's a big spring back over the past few years. So that's a bit of a vote of confidence that there's lots of people think the organisation's moving in the right direction. What we see here is that the groups that are giving the lowest ratings are employees in local government authorities. So we have to ask questions, well, why are their rating us so much lower than other groups? And the groups that are giving you the highest ratings are state and federal government and in the private sector. Now, when we look at the results, you can sort of see some of the drivers that are coming through. And in the private sector, their comments are the higher ratings tended to be about resource recovery. And in the state and federal, it seemed to be more around circular economy and the workshops that you'd run. And that seemed to be favourably received, and that looks like it was driving some of their higher performance ratings. Okay. If we have a look at those key performance areas, so those five areas that we looked at the very beginning, you can see there that, you know, the majority of people are giving those excellent, good or fair ratings. And the one that I brought your attention to is advocacy and regional issues, where that's low and that's one of the ones that are dropped. So that would be one of the key areas to consider. Thanks. That's much better lighting. Now, generally, with studies, what we find is that the people who are closest to the decision-making are the happiest with what's happening. That makes sense, doesn't it? If you've made the decision, you're going to back yourself on this. All right? And we see that trend here as well, that you, the group of counsellors, are giving the best ratings across the board. All right. That said, when it comes to advocacy on regional issues, the percentage of good or excellent rating in this room was down at 43%. So that's recognised as a performance gap, and that was followed by regional development initiatives and then urban environment. But in regards to what your core business, you may argue, is the waste side of things, getting quite good ratings there as good or excellent ratings. Now, the other, just there's lots of things in this report that I could have circled, okay? So I'm not circling the things that are all statistically significant, which is what you might be used to seeing in reports. I'm just circling some of the things here to share as stories to try and bring the results to life, but you'll find lots of stories in the full report. Okay, so the first thing really is that if we look at your colleagues, the councillors in the different member councils, they're actually providing quite low ratings for those three areas where you're low, but it's quite a drop and it's much lower than any of those other groups that we're looking at. So we've got to ask some real questions there about, well, how can we bring other councillors along on this journey with us? CEO is not too bad, actually. Okay, but then when we look at local government employees, we see they're also low as well. And as I mentioned, the state and federal government and the private sector, best results of everybody. So you're doing well at managing those groups. Yeah. Oh, this is percentage. Yeah, percentage of respondents. Yeah. Oh, sorry. So because it was 101 respondents all up, you've done your maths. Yes. Sorry, you asked a question. Can I come back to you with that one? I'll look that one up and tell you the exact number. Let's see if it's on the bottom of my slides as we go to. Alrighty. So let's have a look at your key projects now and your initiatives. So just going through the sorts of things that we tested. So what are you doing to support your member councils to introduce FOGO, your efforts to reduce waste going to landfill, your customer service, what you're doing to promote the waste avoidance and resource recovery strategy, promoting an awareness adoption of circular economy, and the last one down there about what you're doing to let people know about what's happening at the EMRC. And if you look at all those core areas, again, if you look at your excellent and good ratings, it's not a bad report card for an organisation. Okay, really a little bit of dissatisfaction with those poor ratings, but overall most people are giving positive ratings. And then you see the similar sort of profile to what we saw before, where the local government councillors are giving lower ratings compared to others. You also see local government employees giving lower ratings, in particular for the circular economy and letting them know about what was happening there and just generally keeping them informed. Now, remember that common theme that we've already started talking about, communication is going to be a challenge. We can see there we need to find better ways of getting the information direct to our local government employees and also to your colleagues. All right. Awareness of the achievements. I believe this is something organisations don't focus on enough. Okay, so in communication plans, we need to look at the key messages that we're delivering. A lot of those key messages should be around the achievements. And so that's why this year it was introduced to your key stakeholder review. Now, it starts to show that awareness of your key achievements being the FOGO, the resource recovery initiatives to do with FOGO, 72% of your key stakeholders were aware of what you're doing in that space. All right, so there's another 28% that message didn't get to, even though these are your key stakeholders. If we drop down from that one, the practical and educational support for the bin rollout, 62%. Distribution of $13.8 million to the councils to implement FOGO is at 61%. That was one where only 86% of the CEOs responded who said that they were aware of that. So you might think that you might get to 100% on something as important as that and valuable as that. Your circular economy masterclasses, 55%. So I don't know how you feel. Like, you probably felt like there was a lot of promotion that happened in that space and that you couldn't do any more, but the message only got to 55%. Now, I want to come across here, and this is just one example. You'll see lots of these throughout the report. But 100% of your local government CEOs heard about those masterclasses. The elected members that CEO reports to, only 56% heard about it. So we've got a communication gap. On the other side, only 44% of the employees heard about it. Again, communication gap. Yes? So
that given that EMRC often direct communication to the CEO, have you analysed whether that communication gap is from the EMRC or from the CEOs to the staff and their other councillors?
Yeah.
That's we need to know where that gap is.
Totally agree. No, we just completed the survey at this point in time, but that would be a recommended action, is to go and follow that up and ask the question of CEOs as well of how can we better support you to share that message across your organisation. The other part to that is how can you grow your database of the staff members so you can directly get to them through, say, an email newsletter or social media communications or a roadshow or whatever else it might be that's going to help to get the message out there. All right. Which other one do I want to add? Waste sorted grant allocations was at 35%. And the one that's got the lowest awareness is all the achievements around advocacy for the region, and that's all the meetings with the ministers, etc., to try and have an impact. Okay. Did want to pause at this point too. These were considered to be the most important achievements, the most valuable achievements of the EMRC over the past 12 months. We have to ask a question in this room now, where the communication gaps are that those messages didn't come through to this group. So I might, if it's okay, I might just seek some thoughts on that one while we're here.
I note in relation to the third item there, the distribution of the $13.8 million of funding to member councils to implement FOGO, we have a 94% awareness rate with the member councillors, which is higher than both the CEOs and the staffs of the respective local governments. That's curious to me. I do know in that particular instance, I picked up the phone and made sure I had a direct conversation with each and every one of them to let them know of the good work that we were doing. So that may have skewed the figures in that regard. But also, I note a trend there for the top two figures. You've got a higher awareness amongst elected councillors as compared to the CEOs. Is that unusual in your experience?
It depends on your networks and it depends on your communication. As we'll see later on, and so the reason I was smiling so much when you said that you picked up the phone is one of your most effective ways of getting messages out to this group has been through direct communication, through conversations, meetings, etc. So that's incredibly pleasing. We'd have to go back and have a look. It's always about content specific as well and audience specific to make a general comment on my behalf like that. I guess what I'm interested in especially is knowing these areas here around these initiatives don't seem to be resonating in this group. Now, we won't have time this evening to talk about that in depth, but it's certainly something I would encourage you to talk about as a group, because ideally we would want a group that's this close to the decisions and the achievements being 100% across what's happening so that then you've got the information and the knowledge to share with your colleagues.
Sorry, Doug, for the sake of the recording, if you'd be so kind.
Sorry. Just the second from the bottom, waste. I think there was only one, wasn't there? $50,000 for that. Actually, there's $50,000 for the circular economy masterclass, but also the Troublesome 2, which was the aerosol containers. The Troublesome 2, the aerosol containers, and the styrofoam baler, which we have rolled out through all the community recycling centres and actually picking up and processing, and which was in the councillors' reports multiple times.
I would definitely know that we're doing polystyrene and so on, but I don't know if I'd know it as a waste sorted grant.
Yeah, great feedback. So that's really important to understand, because that's all about language and how we choose to communicate and the words we're using. So we've got to use the words that are going to resonate with people. So that's a great learning already tonight. Okay. Let's go through them. Familiarity with the key areas that you are involved with. And we can see there that it's quite low when it comes to advocacy and regional development and urban, gets higher in your core business area. So there's a lot of people out there, that the key stakeholders, who don't really know a lot about the EMRC and what you're doing. So there's great opportunities to do some more education, not training so much, but more education. Alrighty. Now, I find it really interesting when you come across the state and federal government that their awareness is actually quite low of these things that you're doing. But the things that you were doing that mattered to them the most resonated, and that suggests that's why they gave you a strong mark for overall performance. So you don't need to waste your energy telling everybody everything. Pick your message for the target and resonate. All right, source of information. So this, I find this quite unusual and I absolutely adore it, because we all know that one of the best ways that we learn is by having conversations with people. Yeah? We communicate in our own families, with our close friends, etc. Verbally, we don't write everything to them. Maybe that's arguable with text message these days for youth, but we'll go with some general statements. And so therefore, to see that the main source of information for people over the last 12 months about EMRC activities was about conversations with the executives and the officers, and then if you add to that as well, conversations with councillors directly. So there's lots of conversations being had in this organisation. That's really important, because if we can, we as an organisation can give you speaking points, conversational starters to get these messages out there, it really helps to spread the message. Okay, then we've got presentations and roadshows. So I do understand the organisation's been really proactive in getting out there and meeting with people and running those roadshows, and they're really resonating with people. Then we've got meeting agendas and minutes. All right. The annual report, only 31% saying that that was a source, and I'll read the question, over the past 12 months, how have you accessed or received information about the EMRC and its activities? Only 31% said the annual report. Only 75% of people in this room said that that's how they got their information as well. So we do have to ask some questions about the effectiveness of that tool or that channel at communicating key critical information. Is there a better way? Your colleagues, only 50%. And then look at the CEOs. Only 29% said that they kind of flicked open and had a look at what was in the document. Right.
Can I ask a question if all the member council CEOs participated?
I'm trying to remember. I think there was one that didn't. Again, I can check that because I've got the full report there. Okay, so then we go to stock standard forms of communication. We all fall back on them in every organisation. E-newsletters and now social media presence. They're not having very much impact here in the EMRC. So we do have to go back and understand, is that content related? Is it the frequency? Are these people not signed up to it? Is that why they're not getting it? Do we have the wrong email address for them? We've got to ask lots of questions about how we can improve the efficiency and the effectiveness of getting these key messages out right across the group. Because even again in this room, when we look at the e-newsletter, it's only at 38%. So it's not working for you. And we have to make it start working for you. Weren't you excited when it's in your inbox? What's happening? What did I not hear about in the meetings that I need to know about?
I ask rhetorically if anyone is excited about any of the emails they receive in their inbox, or whether they just see it as a chore to clear each and every day.
Unless there's a photo of you in there, sometimes that can get people to want to see, oh, did I make the photo page?
Like Sisyphus pushing the boulder up the hill and it rolls back down again. Anyway, I digress. Councillor O'Connor, did you have a question?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. The one that talks about conversations with EMRC councillors, it appears that CEOs are not talking to their EMRC councillors. Is that how you read that response?
It feels to me that the CEOs possibly are quite burdened by the amount of workloads, and when information is coming through from EMRC or possibly from lots of other channels as well, they may be looking at it and they're going, yeah, that all makes sense to me. Park it. The trigger is not there. The call for action is not there for them to think, oh, I should really forward that on to my directors or my managers or forward it on to my elected members. That call to action might be a missing point.
I'm not sure if I articulated it correctly, but the point, conversation with EMRC Council, down further.
Oh, sorry.
Yep, down next one.
Oh, you want this one here, sorry, yep.
We've got 75 EMRC councillors, local government council 72, then 14 CEOs. So would I be right to say that EMRC councillors are not having conversations with their local government CEOs?
They may be having conversations, but when the CEO is answering this question to say how do they recall getting access to information, etc., they're not saying that that's where they're getting their information from. So the CEOs are more likely to say that they're getting information from the executives.
Yeah. Is that okay for now, Councillor O'Connor? Councillor Hamilton?
Yes, following up on that, I've actually asked at Town of Bassendean if the EMRC councillors and the CEO and the officers can meet at least once every 2 months to discuss EMRC-related matters. Now, that hasn't happened in our council thus far, and I already believe that there is a disconnect in the circle of information going just in our own council. So I wouldn't be surprised if that happens elsewhere. But I certainly have detected a disconnect there. And sometimes I've physically had to ring the CEO to say, what have you done with XYZ? Because I'm not sure. So that's a problem.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it would be advantageous for EMRC councillors to have touch base with their CEO at least once every 2 months, or even once a month if possible, to update on these matters.
Mm. Yeah.
All the councillors are around the room here right now. We're not talking about third parties there, so I guess there's a lack of communication somewhere in the system. But just on the 14% there for CEOs, if there's only five CEOs participating, how do you get a 14%?
I'll go back and I'll give you the number because I'll
even
tell
if you,
you
had six participating, it wouldn't make sense, I don't think.
I'll go back to the numbers because all the percentages are right. So, yeah. Alrighty. Okay, so look, there's lots that you can dive into that to help drive your communication strategy or your engagement plan. That's just a few of the stories for tonight. So if we look at the communication trend, the thing is really clear to us is that back in 2014, people were a lot happier with communication than they are now. So we do have to look into that one more. And across the board, we've already looked at those numbers there. So it was more to show you the trend on that one. So what do they want communication, or what you and others want communication about? When it came to asking questions about what are the risks and the challenges that are facing this organisation over the next 10 years, I think it was we asked, there was a range of things that got mentioned, and there's a lot of the things that you would expect to find around the financial management, risk management, project management, etc. But the overriding ones that were coming through were very much in line with those recommendations provided at the beginning around strategic direction and the purpose of this organisation. But the main risk came about losing member councils and the impact that that has on the operations and the financial models of this organisation. There were other risks that were talked about, state government as well, and how, you know, if they start to provide subsidies for waste to go out to regional areas and then we lose the waste management support metro. So there was a whole range of risks that if you read the full report, we've written what they all were. But as I say, the main challenge was really about making sure we meet member councils' needs so that you're all engaged, you're all on side, and we're moving towards a common vision and a common purpose. So when we switch across to the priorities then, that starts to come through about agreeing on the strategic direction and whether that is going to be about growth and introducing innovation and being, I guess, on top of global trends as well. Or is it about consolidation, which is more looking at landfill management and looking at reducing costs. Okay, it's not saying that those two things can't go together, but it seems from the comments that there's a bit of polarisation where some people are saying go to consolidation and others are saying towards growth and innovation and getting behind circular economy and some of the things that you have been doing here. Quite a few mentions of the establishment agreement in connection with those things. And then it sort of comes back to continuing to show leadership in circular economy, FOGO, recycling, landfill, and improving the effect of marketing, communication, etc. So the sorts of things that we've been talking about throughout the presentation. So in a nutshell, the three key messages that I think key stakeholders would want you to leave with tonight is one, shared agreement, collaboration, working together, being a strong partnership, where everybody's working together and you don't get people who are saying, people who are maybe questioning things outside of the organisation and it being disruptive. So everybody being on the same page, agreeing which are the service areas that we're going to work on and then developing that plan to make sure we communicate really effectively who we are, what we're doing and, incredibly important, what those achievements are. All right. Do we still have time for questions, or have we?
Oh, yes, certainly.
Look, I'd like to say, through the chair, that that was the most comprehensive review of this type of process that I've been involved in. So thank you very much.
Very welcome. Thank you. Are there any other questions?
The other one is that a lot of these get tabled and then put on the shelf. I think it's important that after the elections are over, that this gets workshopped. So I believe that really it's something that's huge. A lot of work has been put into it, so I think it's really something that's important that the MRC follows on from this process.
Absolutely. Councillor Jeans, I think that's a great suggestion, and I'm sure the CEO will take it on board as a part of the induction for the next lot of MRC councillors that are sitting around the table after the election. Concurring with Councillor Jeans, you've brought a lot of insight into the raw data and the numbers, and it aligns with things that I think I've instinctively thought or understood before, but it's good to see that backed up through rigorous analysis, and thank you for sharing that with us this evening.
Very welcome.
Mr. CEO.
Thank you, through Chair. Thank you very much for the information. We actually just got the information yesterday, and the executive team was briefed on it, and we thought it would be important actually presented tonight, and we'll make the report available to all the councillors here. And yes, there is a commitment to follow up with the next EMRC councillors to take this further and analyse it and get better and have continuous improvement. Thank you.
Wonderful. All right, thank you very much.
I had an answer for two questions from earlier on. There was a question around the number of state and federal responses, and so it looks to me there that when we look at the ministers, senior members and employees, there was 8. So it is a smaller sample coming through, but we still have to listen to their voices. And the other question was around about CEOs, and there were 7 local government CEOs who responded to the study. Yeah.
Good to see. All right.
All right.
Thank you again.
Okay, thank you everybody.
That then takes us to agenda item.
Can I just ask a question? Sorry, just to clarify what's happening with this report next, please.
Mr. CEO.
Through the Chair, so we will make the report available to the councillors, EMRC councillors, and we will then present this report also to the new councillors coming in after the election. And then we'll organise a workshop to work out how we can have continuous improvement happening and take this further.
And to complete the circle, it might be useful also to make the findings available in a meaningful way to those people who participated and gave their feedback, so they can see how their feedback sits in relation to other people's views.
Mr. Chair,
yes.
It may be that if there's CEOs from other local governments involved in non-EMRC, that's going to change the data and skew the data in a certain way, I think. Because I just assumed it was just the EMRC CEOs that were involved, including Belmont.
Potentially, but I think it's a matter of public record that we provide waste services to other local governments who aren't members of the EMRC, and I'm sure their insights into our ability to do our core functions such as waste management are useful to have.
Through the Chair, we can disclose how many internal or EMRC CEOs actually responded and how many external ones, but Belmont was not included. They were not asked for feedback.
You're all good. Councillor Johnson.
Sorry. So will that report be tabled to council and sort of made public? Because, I mean, for me, like in the report, I get 100% of my information from the minutes and agendas, and I won't go looking and seeking information in other places.
Yes, it is public, and this recording is public. So we will make the report publicly available.
I think the question was whether it would be added to either the minutes or to future agenda items.
We can add it to the minutes.
Thank you.
Okay. Right. That then brings us to agenda item 9, which is confirmation of minutes of the previous meeting. So minutes were circulated for the ordinary meeting of council held on the 26th of August 2021. I don't believe we've received any written amendments. Are there any last-minute amendments the councillors wish to make? No. May I please have a mover and a seconder then for the officer recommendation before us that the minutes of the meeting held on the 26th of August 2021 be confirmed. So moved, Councillor Congerton, seconded Councillor Hamilton. Is there anyone against? I declare that carried unanimously. Agenda item 10 is questions by members for which due notice has been given. I've been advised by the CEO that he's not received any questions of which due notice has been given prior to the commencement of the meeting. Agenda item 11 is questions by members without notice. Councillors, at this time, are there any questions that councillors have that are not specific to any of the reports before us? Councillor Congerton.
Thank you. My question is to the CEO. Could you tell me how you felt the MRC exhibit at the Wailga conference was seen?
We actually were approached by a couple of these other exhibitors, and we were complimented on our stand, so the quality of the stand, and so that was the feedback from other exhibitors. We had a bit of a it was some days it was slow, especially on the first day. There was much more interest on the second day, on the Tuesday, because there was a section on waste management, and there was discussions about sustainable development goals, circular economy, container deposit systems, and FOGO. And I think that created some interest of elected members and participants of the Wailga conference. So the second day was much busier than the first day. Worthwhile, definitely. We obviously promoted that we now making an Australian standard 4454 product from our interim FOGO facility, and that took a lot of angst away from other councillors, from other local governments, because they thought you cannot make a quality product out of FOGO material. My personal feeling was that there were a lot of councillors from non-metro areas, from the regional areas, and it's interesting that in Geraldton, they're actually introducing a second bin, but it's not the recycling bin, but they're introducing a FOGO bin. So they're going from one bin, general all the waste in one bin, instead of expanding into a yellow bin, they're going to a FOGO bin. So there's a fair bit of interest there. So no, overall, I thought it was a worthwhile investment.
And for the sake of our staff involved in social media communications who may have been disheartened by the previous presentation, I did see both the CEO and Councillor Congerton smiling faces in a photo standing outside the front of the stall, and appreciate Councillor Congerton's ongoing interest and involvement in the stall during the week. Do we have any other questions from members without notice about non-report items? There are none. Agenda item 12 is announcement of confidential matters for which the meeting may be closed to the public. So we have three items, confidential report items that will be covered under section 19 of the agenda. And those items are at 12.1, the Hazelmere Wood Waste to Energy Plan update, at 12.2, the APCR business plan, and at 12.3, the progress report on EMRC request for tender 2021 permanent FOGO processing facility and business plan for the purpose of major trading undertaking. Agenda item 13. Sorry, Councillor Dorr.
Question on that. If you look at the beginning of the agenda, it's got 19.1, 19.2, 19.3 as those three items.
Yes.
Then what you just read, there was 12.1, 12.2. Why do we always have this anomaly coming up time and time and time again at this council?
Would
you have different numbers for the same item?
Well,
just to add to the confusion.
No.
Because it's an announcement that when we do get to section 19, they will be the three matters that will be dealt with at that point, which for the purposes of those playing at home and listening along to the recording will be done behind closed doors. So it's more a courtesy as to providing disclosure as to those matters.
But why aren't they numbered 19.1, 19.2 and 19.3?
Because we're currently dealing with agenda item 12.
But that's irrelevant.
Well,
the items are going to be dealing with 19.1, 19.2 and 19.3, not 12.1, 12.2 and 12.3. Right. It's a point of confusion. I just think it just needs to be sorted and settled at some point.
It is. And thank you for drawing it to my attention that it is a point of confusion. Unfortunately, being my last meeting, I won't be able to adopt that practice in any subsequent meetings. However, for the sake of those following along, the three items, the first, the second and the third, are as read out, and they will be dealt with at agenda item 19. Which brings us to agenda item 13, which is business not dealt with from a previous meeting. There is none. And that brings us to agenda item 14, which is the reports from employees. We did have a council briefing session last week about these items, and there was some considerable discussion and questions asked about those. That said, I'm happy to open up the opportunity for councillors to ask follow-up questions or seek any further clarifications on matters that they were raised or additional bits of information that were sought between the briefing session and this meeting. So that said, are there any questions on any of the reports, item 14.1 through to 14.10, that councillors wish to raise at this time? Councillor Jennings.
Through the chair, just a question on the declassification.
Which is item 14.6.
14.6, yes. Is that a normal procedure within local government? Because I haven't seen it in our council.
This is actually in response to a query which was raised about 18 months ago by one of the councillors here at the EMRC, and whether we could make old items that are not confidential anymore, make them public. I think it's similar to what the government does, that after 50 years, actually disclose the information. So we thought it was good practice, and we'd like to continue. We only could get up to this certain date because we ran out of time, but we want to continue doing that so that as much as possible, the information is available publicly, except with commercial in confidence or projects.
Further on to that, do we have a policy covering this type of meeting, as in guidelines, rules, whatever, the way it's managed internally?
Chief Financial Officer?
Through the chair, the State Records Act do have guidance on this, and they do have a, especially with regards to FOI, it is always advantageous in the interest of public participation in the debate and discussion where it's no longer commercial and sensitive information to make those available.
Thank you. Yes, it is not a practice that I've come across separately, and additionally, being a councillor at the town of Bassendean, I'm not sure if it is in any of the other member councils from which councils come. Thank you, Councillor Congerton. Good to know that Swan also has a commitment to openness, transparency and accountability in this regard. Are there any other questions in relation to any of the other items? Okay, that being the case, it is open to us to consider all of the items 14.1 through to 14.10 en bloc. Are there any items that councillors wish to remove from en bloc at this time to debate separately and individually? No, there does not appear to be any. That being the case, may I please have a mover and a seconder to move en bloc and adopt the recommendations in the reports of employees for 1 to 10. So moved, Councillor Johnson. Seconded, Councillor O'Connor. Is there anyone against? There being no one against, I put that motion. All those in favour, please raise your hand. Those against, that's carried unanimously. Which brings us to agenda item number 15, which is reports of committee. There have been no committee meetings since our last ordinary council meeting. There are none. Item 16 is reports of delegates. Councillor Clark, this is your opportunity, if you wish to remove yourself from the room. Otherwise, I think as been mentioned, there is no vote on the matter. You're welcome to stay. 16.1, the Municipal Waste Advisory Council minutes held on the 25th of August 2021. So Councillor Johnson, who is a delegate member, has provided us with a copy of the minutes from that meeting. Councillor Johnson, would you like to talk to those minutes at all?
I think I briefly might have mentioned them at the last meeting, so we haven't had a meeting since then. So if anyone has any questions, happy to answer them. And I'll just note that NWAC has one more meeting before the end of my term, which is later on in October.
Right. councillors. You're welcome to ask any questions of Councillor Johnson at this time on those minutes. No, we're all satisfied with the good advocacy and work she does representing us there. That is good. Agenda item 17 is members' motions of which previous notice has been given. And for those councillors who were at the briefing and noted that these weren't lodged at that time, we have two notices of motion. At 17.1, we've got a notice of motion received from Councillor Johnson. And at 17.2, we've got a notice of motion received from Councillor Congerton. I'll just give councillors a moment to find that on their diligent boards and relevant papers and familiarise themselves with the content. Briefly stated, at 17.1, Councillor Johnson's motion is to request the CEO to prepare a caretaker policy together with an employee report and recommendation for council's consideration at a future ordinary meeting about caretaker policy. Councillor Johnson, would you like to move that motion?
Yes, please.
Do we have a seconder for the motion? That has been seconded by Councillor Clark. Are there any councillors who wish to speak against the motion? Councillor Congerton has indicated he wishes to speak against. Councillor Johnson, would you like to exercise your moving rights to open debate?
Thank you, Chair. I think it's well known that I feel like councils shouldn't be making decisions binding future councils right at the very end of their terms for a whole lot of reasons. And one is just for a whole lot of reasons. We have a caretaker period at City of Bayswater that prevents us from making, you know, major decisions at the end of our terms or during the election period. Decisions made in that time can be, you know, viewed differently, and this is a perception about perhaps sort of bias. I assumed that our caretaker period at Bayswater would also follow me through to the EMRC, and I didn't anticipate the need to be making decisions during an election period, but here we are. So, which is why perhaps I should have put this up and we could have discussed this 2 years ago. The timing's not great, I completely understand, but I think it's a great protection for us as individuals and for the councils that we represent here and for the EMRC as well.
Thank you, Councillor Johnson. Councillor Clark, would you like to exercise your seconding rights?
Yes, thanks, Chair. So, at the City of Bayswater we have a caretaker period. This is the first period I've been in it since I'm up for re-election for the first time. And I think what it does do is clearly demarcates the time period in which you sort of, I suppose, your focus naturally shifts anyway to seeking or perhaps not seeking re-election. And then what it provides is the ability then that there aren't major decisions that are made in that kind of context, in that kind of, and let's be honest, it gets... You know, online, everyone's posting things and sharing things and saying things, and I'm busy deleting things that are, you know, possibly defamatory and offensive. So it gets, you know, it's a period in which emotions are high and things are more political, right? It's a campaigning period. So I think, as Councillor Johnson says, it's good for us as councillors. It's also good for the institutions that we represent and that we're here for. It really does. Sort of create that space in which you sort of say, well, yes, I'm still a councillor, but I can't make major decisions either for or against whatever it is that you want at this point in time. So I think that's important. I think everyone can probably think of examples across councils and probably across other regional councils in history where particular things have come in very quickly, very close to an election, and that has had an influence, and perhaps things should be slowly, calmly considered, and I think that's important. So I think it's something that we should think about really carefully. Keen to hear the debate and the opposing arguments, though.
Thank you, Councillor Clark. Councillor Congerton, would you like to exercise your speaking rights against the motion?
Thank you. I could well understand the need for a caretaker provision in your respective local governments. and it's without question. And some of those magical commentary terms of pork barrelling is mentioned. When you get a councillor in a local government that might say, I want a upgrade to a skate park, and that person is up for election, there could be a position of gaining votes in respect to that. And I could name a number of examples right across the local government area. The EMRC is not charged with that. If you have a look at our agenda tonight and all of the other agendas that we've gone through, there is not really a position that any one member of this council could end up promoting an item that would seek for me to gain an advantage in our community. The MRC at the moment has got some very challenging times, and I'm not sure that in the future that we may not have those challenging times again. Some decisions will need to be made, or possibly be made, before the end of the term of the MRC members of this council, and that may then lead for that to be carried forward into the new 2-year term. So I don't see there's a necessity here to have a caretaker period at the EMRC. If we were in the same position as a local government authority, where you could project a notice of motion that would possibly deliver an advantage in receiving votes, then I would have said yes. But to shut out 37 days for this organisation, I don't think is warranted.
Thank you, Councillor Congerton. Do we have any other speakers for the motion? Councillor James.
Yeah, through the chair. Look, I suppose I'm happy to support this motion because I believe the caretaker mode is important for transparency for the community in all areas of local government. I think the important thing is that really hits home for me is the major decisions prior to a local government election. And I suppose the one that stands out to me was the waste to energy one, which was virtually done the month in either September or October. And I suppose you could say that created the biggest angst within our community, making those decisions at that time. So it's not really about individual elected members to the MRC. It's really about the decisions that they are there to make. So I suppose I believe it's better to have a policy like this than not have one and get in that same situation. So I think it's worthwhile supporting this motion.
Thank you, Councillor James. Do we have any other speakers against? Councillor O'Connor.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would make the point that making decisions at the end of your term, right up until the end of your term, is what we are elected to do. And our term is the length of the term that it is. The comment was made about binding future councils to decisions. Well, that's what we always do. We always make decisions that potentially or actually bind future councils to a position or a decision. That's the nature of this sector. This notice of motion that is taking place during an election period will potentially bind a future council to an action or a process. So the irony is not lost on me. There's a lot of business at the EMRC to get done. And we have a lot of things. You cannot just put your tools down for over a month or a month and a half. You just can't. I accept that, as Councillor Congerton said, there is the opportunity for people to make use of a platform in their local government area councils. I don't think the same thing takes place here, and I don't think the same advantage can be quickly gained at the EMRC. Again, we've got a lot of things to do. You can't just shut the place down for a month or so. And judging by the rationale put forward, I understand that councillors would not have been able to attend the WasteWise conference because that would fall under the caretaker period. I'm not sure what decisions by council would be prevented by this policy. I think until there's a demonstrated issue, I don't think we should stifle the business unless there's an actual problem to fix.
Thank you, Councillor O'Connor. Do we have any other speakers for the motion? Any other speakers against? Councillor Dorr.
Yes, I applaud the intent, Councillor, of the motion, and I think it's I'm still partly affected in thinking that it is my mind is open. So I'm coming here with an open mind on this motion, but just hearing what I've heard from fellow councillors in relation to the business of the five. This really is the business of the five local governments, the five local councils. So in some sense, it's not really a local government as per the definition of the Local Government Act. No rates, no ratepayers, no halls, no swimming pools, no ovals, no roads. Rubbish, yes, but that's probably the only one. So I just have a concern. I know that decision made to be, what, 5-6 years ago, whenever it was, regarding the waste to energy plant was really about, I think that was poorly done to put that in right at the end there. That was bad. That really did concern me. So I still have an open mind about this. But I think we are the business of the five local governments. We aren't really five. We don't really behave as a local government in that sense. So I think there is a point of differentiation. But I remain open, and I shall listen to any other arguments that may come forth.
Thank you, Councillor Dorr. Any other speakers for the motion? Any other speakers against? Councillor Zanino.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I concur with my fellow councillor, Councillor Congerton. With this proposed motion, I think it's the intent. I have nothing against the intent, but I think that as Councillor Congerton stated, and it's been stated by other fellow councillors, that the EMRC, yes, it's a local government in a sense. It's a regional government rather than a local government which is accountable to its ratepayers and it's dealing with ratepayer issues. I think that the main point that I want to make is that this council is in a position to make decisions with regards to the EMRC as a regional council. And as councillors, we're appointed to make those decisions. Now, there could be major decisions, there could be minor decisions, whatever decisions have to be made on various issues, what size or, you know, magnitude. Now, to close the council for over 30 days and not make any decisions could have ramifications in the sense that, the way I see it, if there are issues decisions on things that are brought forward to this council, they should be made by the council, because we as councillors have all the background, we have all the knowledge, because we've been dealing with it, rather than being put off for a month and then at the end of the month, the councillors that are up for election, well, we're all put up for election because the whole councillors that are representing the EMRC, we're all up for election basically because we're elected by our councils. Now, dependent on the outcomes of the elections from our own councils, then those councillors elect representatives to come on board as an EMRC representative for their local government. Now, hypothetically, with the elections happening, the EMRC could have a totally new council. right? Now, these new councillors that are on board would then have to deal with those issues that have been put off. So they might have to come up on their first meeting and make decisions on multi-million dollar projects, which they had no idea about. They have no background because they don't have that background. So therefore, the new council or the CEO would have to say, well, hang on, we need to go back to the drawing board because we need to, bring all these new councillors on board with all the background information before they can make a decision. So in my opinion, any decisions that have to be made, big or small, need to be made by the council of the day and basically try to get all those issues out of the way before the election, and then after the election, whatever decisions that have to be made by the new council, the new council has all the background information and they can confidently go ahead and make those decisions, if I'm making any sense. Therefore, that's the reason why, personally, I can't support this motion.
Thank you, Councillor Zanino. You made perfect sense to me, and I appreciate, as always, your contribution to debate. Are there any other speakers for the motion? Councillor Hamilton.
I must admit, I'm in two minds about this particular motion. To a degree, I do agree with the sentiment of a caretaker period. However, in the rationale of this motion, I think this goes too far. I would hope that if this motion is supported, that the administration carefully consider the terms under which matters can be considered under a caretaker period. I think that a caretaker period, that the average general business of the organisation should continue, and that if we refer back to 4 years ago with the motion that was brought forward by Bassendean's deputy mayor at the time, who was the EMRC member, that had ramifications in that it committed individual councils to a long-term contract. So in that respect, I think a caretaker period would have been advantageous. But I do think that a caretaker period should be limited to those very, very long-term commitments that have financial, huge financial impact on the member councils. So as for these other things like attendance and participation in functions and events, I don't see that as being problematic during a caretaker period. Access to local government information, I don't believe any of that is problematic during a caretaker period. I think those things, I would not support those as being part and parcel of a caretaker period. So I do have very mixed views on this particular motion because I think the rationale goes a little bit too far. So,
thank you, Councillor Hamilton. Councillor Boyd, I think you're the only one left at this point. Did you wish to speak for or against the motion? No, happy to listen. on indulgence, I will speak for the motion. Before I do so, I agree entirely with all of the points raised by Councillor Congerton, Zanino, O'Connor and Dorr in their opposition to the motion. I think perhaps, though their contributions presuppose that the outcomes of the report or the officer recommendation would be a commitment to act in a certain way. So whilst I share all of their concerns about whether a caretaker period ought apply to the fourth level of government that Australia so desperately needs, the regional councils, and whether EMRC councillors or other regional councillors are open to the same sorts of influences that make caretaker periods necessary elsewhere. I'm not convinced that that's the case. However, all this motion does is ask staff to go away and think about it and make a recommendation, which as an activity in and of itself doesn't bind or commit anyone, or certainly not a future council of the MRC, to any particular course of action. That being the case, Councillor Congerton did raise the question during debate about whether there would be any circumstances or items that might arise at a regional council level that could have a bearing on elections. And Councillor Hamilton did point out, and Councillor Dorr too, the decision that was made 4 years ago, it was Councillor Dorr, for the Eastern Metropolitan Regional Council to enter into a long-term contract with a private competitor of ours to provide waste services. And that was the reason. That was the reason that I sought election to local government as a representative of the town of Bassendean, because decisions were made by the town of Bassendean Council at that time to enter into, or to seek to enter into, long-term contracts to send the town of Bassendean's waste to a private competitor of the MRC. And I thought that was a bad idea, and that decision was made during an election campaign, and that issue became quite the topic of conversation and debate within the community. And I think in hindsight, as Councillor Dorr suggested, it was potentially imprudent. I don't know how far I can go without reflecting badly on a decision of the council, so I mean no poor reflection on decisions made by a previous council of the MRC. However, I do think there are some limited circumstances in which it is probably best for the MRC not to be making decisions during an election period, and perhaps entering into long-term contracts is one of those circumstances. But that said, Councillor Johnson were right to be at a future meeting of council, I would probably vote against a caretaker period. That's a hypothetical situation. I am happy, though, for a report to be prepared for the consideration of a future council, and for that reason, will support the motion. Councillor Johnson, would you like to exercise your right of reply?
I would. Thank you, Chair. And thank you for everyone's useful conversation, which has now been heard by the officers and all those present. We're asking, what this motion seeks to do is to ask the administration to prepare a policy. This decision now is not binding this council or a future council to take on a caretaker period. But I think some of the issues that you've all raised, to me, sort of remind us of the types of decisions that can be made at this council that may well be considered barrelling at a vast scale, actually, with our own representative member councils, for example, decisions that are contentious. And I think a caretaker policy considers those types of things. That's the sorts of things I would like to see in a caretaker period, is what decisions are appropriate. Noting reports is not contentious. Maybe that's the sort of thing that can happen during an election period. Business as usual doesn't stop. We don't stop for the 37 days of the relatively short 37 days of an election period. The operations of the MRC would continue. There might be a thing about what sort of decisions would require a special council meeting within that period, because decisions are important and do need to be made timely. They're the types of things that a caretaker policy would continue with, whether a future council might want to delegate some decisions during this time or to continue having meetings. I mean, they're all the sorts of things that could be considered. Attendance of events, I think, has been mentioned, is not terribly contentious. It might just be, just some clear guidance of how that looks during the election period. So certainly this doesn't seek to bind anyone. I completely, thank you, Councillor O'Connor, completely acknowledge the irony of it. Absolutely take that on board. But it's not seeking to bind, it's just seeking to develop that policy for a future council to contemplate.
Thank you, Councillor Johnson. That brings to a close debate on item 17.1. Can I please have a show of hands for all those councillors in support of the motion moved by Councillor Johnson, seconded by Councillor Clark. Those in favour, Councillor Johnson, Councillor Clark, Councillor Hamilton, Councillor Jeans and Councillor Wilson. Those against, Councillor Boyd, Councillor O'Connor, Councillor Dorr, Councillor Congerton and Councillor Zanino. I believe that is a 5-all vote, and under the rules and standing orders that we have, in the case of a tied vote, the chair, I believe, gets to exercise a casting vote for the first time in the past. Hello? For the first time tonight. I will use my plurality of votes to cast in favour of the resolution and thank all councillors for their thoughtful contribution to debate. The motion is carried. That now takes us to agenda item 17.2, which is the notice of motion received from Councillor Congerton. Councillor Congerton, would you like to read in your motion or explain its rationale or otherwise move the motion?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Look, I'll move the motion, but the rationale provided is there in the agenda papers. So the council is to resolve extend the tenure of the legal committee following the local government elections in October 2021 until such time as the current legal matter is resolved. To adopt an amended legal committee terms of reference forming attachment 2 of this notice. If you would like me to read the rationale, I will. If you don't want me to read it, I won't.
That's fine. Thank you, Councillor Congerton. I'll consider that motion moved by Councillor Congerton. Do we have a seconder? Seconded by Councillor Clark. Is there anyone who wishes to speak against the motion? There being no speakers against, I will put the motion to a vote. All those in favour, please raise your hand. And those against, that is carried unanimously. Thank you, Councillor Congerton, for your forward thinking in this regard, such that the Legal Committee can continue the good work that it has done thus far. Which takes us to agenda item number 18, which is new business of an urgent nature approved by the chairperson or presiding officer. There's nil. Agenda item 19, which is the confidential matters for which the meeting may be closed to the public, which have been previously announced. May I please have a mover and a seconder so that we can go behind closed doors to deal with these matters of a confidential nature. So I move Councillor Congerton, seconded Councillor Jeans. Is there anyone against? There being no one against, I declare that procedural motion carried unanimously. Staff, could we please go behind closed doors? Minute taker, could you please note that Councillor Dorr left the chamber prior to the conduct of that vote and was absent for the vote on that procedural motion at 7:20 p.m. Staff, if you'd be so kind as to turn off the recording device and lock the room to the general public. And open the doors to the world. That takes us to agenda item number 20, future meetings of council. The next meeting of council, unless there is a special meeting caused for any particular reason, will be on the 4th of November at the EMRC building. I wish all councillors the very best, those who are facing re-election in their communities and those who may be seeking the support of their member councils to return to this place. I myself will not be here, but I hope that some of you get to continue and keep the corporate knowledge that you've accrued over the last 2 to 4 years and beyond to ensure that the decision-making in this place goes as well in the future as I believe it has in the past 2 years. Councillor Clark.
Chair, I'm sorry. I feel like I've interrupted what was a very heartfelt and well-rounded conclusion to the meeting. EMRC councillors received an email earlier in the week providing us with publicly available information in response to a number of questions. I believe some of those questions may have come from members of the public in the City of Bayswater. And I just wondered, is it possible for that email, given it's public, to be sent out to all of the councillors in all of the member councils, just in terms of that communication making, because some of it was really interesting, really useful information. I just wondered if that's possible.
Mr. Chair, I think that was sent to all the CEOs. Mm. I'm not wrong. So every CEO received that communication. And so the request I would suggest through you, Mr. Chair, is that your CEO delivers it to your council members.
And having recently analysed the Catalyst report, we have seen numerically that there is potentially a disconnect in communication between member council CEOs and other councillors. Mr. CEO, do you have a view on the matter?
I think because there will be councillors of member councils that have similar questions, so I'm happy to send it out to all the councils of member councils. But I'll actually run it tomorrow at the CEO meeting, past the CEOs, whether they're going to forward it on, and otherwise I can forward it on. Yeah.
Perhaps a better question is there anything in that is confidential?
No, it's all from the annual report and from council reports. Okay.
Well, that being the case, Councillor Clark, feel free to distribute the non-confidential information to any and all people you deem fit to do so.
Sorry, Mr. Chair, on that note, it did go to all the mayors and the CEOs,
yes,
as well as all of us.
Yes.
So that distribution went to nearly everybody other than going to the individual councillors. And yes, I say again, the CEOs or the mayors should be distributing.
In a perfect world, Councillor Clark, feel free to do as you please in that regard. returning to my speech and indulgence, you've been a delight to work with, really have. And I don't know if you're sticking around for dinner, but, you know, let's stick around. Let's have the Last Supper, as it were, and the best of luck to all of you.
Mr. Chair.
Councillor Condon.
Sorry, thank you, if I may. On behalf of the council, we'd like to thank you for your chairmanship. I think you need to, if one of us come back onto the MSC or EMRC or a couple, I think you need to give us some language skills on how you pronounce all those things with your acknowledgement to country.
Indeed.
Or if you can just write it down phonetically for us, that would be terrific.
Indeed.
But, seriously, Mr. Chair, thank you very much indeed for your last 2 years.
Thank you, Councillor Congleton. I appreciate that. And that being the case, I declare the meeting closed at 7:39.